You've tuned to The Turley Frequency, starring your host, Kevin Turley, with guest stars Mike Romano and Reed Hodges, and special guest stars, the members of the FCC, whom we respect respectfully. Now, time to get tuned into The Frequency. Call the show at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Or text us at 251-928-2111. And now we cross live to the Archangel Radio Studios in downtown Fairhope to at last feel the Turley Frequency.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's edition of the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive here on Archangel Radio. Today on the show, we speak with Maggie Carusa, who is the producer of Relevant Radio's top-rated Drew Mariani show. We're going to be talking to Maggie in the next segment. Top of the hour, as always, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And guess what? Yes, you are invited to join us. Feel free to text me your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. Finally, today on the show, we welcome Father Joseph Vesio, the founder of the ever-impressive Catholic publishing house, Ignatius Press. Okay, with all this good stuff, let's get this show on the road. Good morning and welcome. You are extremely welcome to this edition of the Turley Frequency. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope it's going well, whether you're out jogging, lying still in bed, lying in a sick bed maybe, in the bar, behind bars, wherever you are extremely welcome. Now, talking of being behind bars, there's all sorts of shenanigans happening down in Georgia today, which I will get to in a moment. But before that, last night, the Republican contenders, shall we say, they all lined up for a debate. And it was a televised debate with Fox News. And, one person, one contender was not there. And you know who that is. President Donald Trump. And he had some very, very... So, listen, I mean, Donald Trump, we're going to get to why he wasn't there. And it's hilarious what he says in many respects. But I felt sorry for the contenders who were there, because it was almost like they were a sideshow attraction to the main event, because Donald had an interview with Tucker Carlson at exactly the same time. You can accuse Donald Trump of many things, but being self-effacing is not one of them, I would suggest. Okay, so let's try. I've got a short segment to play you to kind of recap on the highlights, if that's the right expression, of some of the talking points from the contenders last night. I will interject occasionally just to let you know maybe who they are, but you know who they are. It's mainly Pence and a couple of others that you haven't heard of. Hopefully we're going to have Mike Church on the show tomorrow morning, and he's going to give us an absolutely withering rundown on what's happening in the Republican field. But let's catch up on some of what happened last night.
This decline is not inevitable. It's a choice. We need to send Joe Biden back to his basement and reverse American decline.
And I must tell you, with all due respect to all of my friends on the stage, and even to one that's probably looking on, I think unquestionably I am the best prepared, the most tested, the most qualified and proven conservative.
The real choice we face in this primary is this. Do you want a super PAC puppet, or do you want a patriot who speaks the truth?
Now is not the time for on-the-job training. We don't need to bring in a rookie. We don't need to bring in people without experience.
And can't we all agree that we are not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion?
If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would.
And all the hands go up.
Agents.
So when they're coming across, yes, we're going to use lethal force. Yes, we reserve the right to operate.
And I think that this is disastrous that we are protecting against an invasion across somebody else's border when we should use those same military resources to prevent across the invasion of our own southern border here in the United States.
You have no foreign policy experience, and it shows.
And you know what?
Thank you to all the candidates on the stage tonight.
Thank you to all the candidates on the stage. So the one you heard probably most there was Vivek Ramaswamy. He had some good lines. He was the one who was kind of, he was in the center of the stage, interestingly. I don't know whether they do it alphabetically or whatever way, but he seemed to command more of the attention. Pence played heavily on his experience, but I mean, I don't know much about him other than he comes across as slightly, a bit tired as a performance, certainly looking at the footage this morning, though he does have a history of working in talk radio, so we should maybe give him some benefit. Ron DeSantis, you heard there as well, and also Nikki Haley. Anyway, this was the sideshow, right? This was the sideshow, because the main event was elsewhere. And, you know, this is what makes Donald Trump a master of what he does, an absolute maestro. Somebody once said about Trump, the problem with Trump is that when he walks into a room, he sucks all the oxygen out of it. And I know what he means, right? When you have Donald Trump on stage or in a studio or in any setting, he is the center of attention. He has a quality which all the best actors had, actually. All the best actors in classic Hollywood, which is that the eyes of the audience immediately go to them, even if they've just got a minor part. It's very interesting tracking some of the great stars of cinema. For example, Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe had a couple of minor parts in movies, but boy, you noticed her when she came on screen. You just noticed her. She had that X factor, which is what Donald Trump has. So let's have a little listen. Now, so he sits down with Tucker Carlson at exactly the same time as his rivals are getting onto the stage. And of course, the first question Tucker's going to ask him is, well, why aren't you there? So let's find out why he didn't turn up.
When you say there are people on stage who shouldn't be running for president, who do you mean?
Well, I don't want to really use names, but it wouldn't matter too much. A guy like, I call him Ada Hutchinson. It's Asa, but I call him Ada.
Why do you call him Ada?
I could tell you, but I don't want to get myself in a little trouble. But he's weak and pathetic, and he was, I never understood the guy, I never knew him.
Reed, can we just stop that? I think there's a little bit before that. Can we just go right the way back to the start of that video? Because it gives a really clear answer as to why he thinks that they shouldn't be there. Let's just restart that. So this is Donald Trump giving his view on his fellow contenders. I think it's this video anyway. Let's see.
When you say there are people on stage who shouldn't be running for president.
Oh, you were right, Reid. Sorry. Anyway, so let's just play this video. Go on.
Get elected governor of Arkansas, but he's nasty always and has been. A guy like Chris Christie, a guy left with a 8%, think of it, 8% approval rating in New Jersey. Now he's running for president. And he runs solely on the basis, oh, let's get Trump. He's like a savage maniac. He's like a lunatic. And that's all he talks about. His poll numbers are very, very low. He's about 2%.
Back to Biden, I'm interested. So you think he's failing? He obviously is failing. I think it's clear to everybody. But that would make Kamala Harris the candidate?
Well, not really. I mean, I guess they'd have maybe a free-for-all. A lot of people say she has to remain for certain reasons the candidate. She has to. I don't think that's true, actually. I don't think that other people would stand for it. She has some bad moments. Her moments are almost as bad as his. I think his are worse, actually.
Yeah. But she seems pretty senile, too.
She speaks in rhyme. You know, it's weird. It's weird. But she has bad moments. And
in rhyme? What do you?
Well, the way she talks, the bus will go here and then the bus will go there because that's what buses do. And it's weird. The whole thing is weird. This is not a president of the United States future. And I think they probably have some kind of a primary and other people will get involved.
Okay, let's leave it at that. So that's basically it. I mean, he completely traduces all his opponents in this way. And he just doesn't think that they are worth appearing on stage with. And he's right. Why should he? More people will pay attention to Tucker Carlson interviewing Donald Trump than they will to the people who were on stage last night. And the other thing is this. Donald Trump is so far out in advance in terms of the polling, in terms of name recognition, in terms of the core voter audience for the Republicans. I think Mike Church, when he came on the show and I asked him about why these other people were running, he hit the nail on the head, which is that they are running for probably a position in Donald Trump's future administration, if and when he wins the next election. But there is an election in the interim. And last night on Tucker Carlson's interview, Donald Trump had some choice words to say about his possible opponent. Now, you heard him talking about Kamala Harris, who, by all accounts, is probably not going to be running against Donald Trump next year. There is no appetite for her, even within the Democrat Party. But Joe Biden is intent, it seems, on running. And Trump has some very interesting things to say about his possible opponent.
Kevin, I love Trump's strategy of just using Twitter for publication. And I mean, that's nothing to really say about his politics or anything like that. But in the old days, in order to get yourself in front of the American people or any crowd that you needed to be elected by, the only way that you could make yourself visible would be to appear on one of the mainstream news sources. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, well, let's hear what he said then about Biden in this, which you're right. It all came out on Twitter or X, whatever it's called. And then it goes viral on the internet because Donald Trump is a big name. But let's hear some of the rather amusing things he was to say about Joe Biden.
Just a sec, Kevin. I'm getting this worked out for us.
Okay, it's audio file 3, Reed. So while we're waiting on this, now, Donald Trump doesn't sort of mince his words, as we say this side of the Atlantic, about who or what he thinks about people. And that's part of his endearing quality, because we see him not as a politician who is giving us some sort of political speech, but who's somebody who's speaking right from the heart. He says it as he sees it. And sometimes it is really quite off the record. It is definitely not something that a PR guru working with a politician would suggest that you might be prepared to say. Okay, so we're not able to play that file for some reason. I don't know. Okay, well, anyway, he was very, very amusing in his put-downs on Biden. He said that things like, well, you know, he was questioned by Tucker about Biden's health. And Trump rather amusingly said, well, he's not a triathlete. He's not going to be running the marathon anytime soon. And then he went on to talk about the fact that, for a man of his age, he's even more decrepit than perhaps other people of his age, both mentally and physically. So that was the Donald's take on Biden at this time.
Kevin, I believe I have that excerpt right here for us.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because crooked Joe Biden is so bad. He's the worst president in the history of our country. I don't think he's going to make it to the gate, but you never know. But he's a corrupt person, so corrupt that I took the name off Hillary. You know, I don't do two people at one time. I took the crooked Hillary and I made it. I retired the name. That was a good day for her. I bet she was very happy. And I used it for Joe because it's crooked Joe. But Joe is really...
But you don't think he's going to make it to November of 2020?
Well, I think he's worse mentally than he is physically. And physically, he's not exactly a triathlete or any kind of an athlete. You look at him, he can't walk to the helicopter. He walks. He can't lift his feet out of the grass. You know, it's only 2 inches at the White House, right? That's not a lot. But you watch him and it looks like he's walking on toothpicks. So, and then you see him on the beach where he can't lift a chair. You know, those chairs are meant to be light, right? They're like 2 ounces. Yeah. You lift them up. He can't.
I mean, you can only but laugh, right? I mean, listen, if Trump ends up not staying in politics, he has a great future as a comedian. He has a wonderful sense of comic timing. I mean, the way Tucker inadvertently threw him the line about Biden's health, and he comes back, you know, he's not exactly a triathlete. And then he says he's not any sort of athlete. And then talking about he can hardly lift his feet off the ground, off the grass outside the White House, and it's only two inches tall or whatever it was. You know, it was so funny the way he says it. But in some ways, I mean, he is playing into something which is perfectly legitimate, and that is political satire. We need political satire. Political satire is as old as politics. You go back to Roman times, Greek times, and people sent up their politicians. Why? Because politicians often are full of hot air, right? They're telling you they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they don't do any of it. And they've got to be reminded of what they said when they were out getting your votes. So the Donald is poking fun at his opponent in the same way that Biden will attempt to poke his fun at Donald Trump. The only difference is this: Trump is funny and Biden is not. And I say that in a neutral stance. I'm this side of the Atlantic. I do not have a vote in this. But all I can say is that Trump's put downs are funny. Biden's put downs are pathetic because they're not funny and they're a little bit mean. So now the conversation continued, and Tucker's a very, very good interviewer. Very good, because he gets things out of people. And you can tell that Donald Trump was very, very relaxed. So Donald Trump started talking about certain revelations, which were news to me. And I've been following the American presidential race. But this was the latest from the Donald. I don't know. Do we have audio file 4, Reed?
No, Kevin.
Sorry about that. Okay. So in that portion of the Tucker interview, Donald Trump reveals that there are some Democrats who are planning to assassinate him. I mean, this couldn't get any more dramatic. I mean, you know, I know Hollywood screenwriters and actors are on strike at the moment, but, you know, who needs them? Who needs them when you've got Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Tucker Carlson in the middle? He's his own soap opera in the media sense as well. You've got the whole lot of them. And they're all crashing around. And it's all this. I mean, it's great television. It's great radio. The British news radio stations I was listening to this morning were full of it. But guess what? They're not full of Mike Pence. They're not full of Nikki Haley, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, they really don't know who these people are. But they all know who Donald Trump is. And they all laugh with him or sneer at him. He is, whatever you might think of him, a political superstar, a political heavyweight, in a way that there are few of them on the planet at the moment. But today's the day, because we have a president, a former president, who is having to go to Georgia to face an indictment. As I say, this, if I wrote this 5 years ago as a screenplay, where you had a president like Trump, and then you had an election with all the backwards and forwards back in 2020, you had all the fallout since then, you had Hunter Biden, you had Joe Biden, and then you had indictment after indictment after. People would say to me, this plot is outlandish. Totally outlandish. But this is real-time America today. This is what's happening in the political world, and nobody knows how this is going to play out. So today, President Trump has to go to Georgia to face indictments about all sorts of charges, which have very dramatic titles like racketeering. Makes him sound like Al Capone or something. So this is a soap opera which is going to run. And where it will run to eventually, I have no idea. I know it will end up in the White House with somebody there at end of next year. Okay, listen, that's enough about American politics this morning from somebody who knows nothing about them. We'll have more tomorrow from Mike Church all about that. We're going to change gears and we're going to revert to what we know best, which is Catholic media. We're going to be speaking to one of Relevant Radio's rising stars when we come back. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I hope your Thursday morning is going well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever mood you're in. I hope this show is making it just that little bit better. Now, as you know, Archangel Radio is an affiliate of Relevant Radio, where can be found, in my opinion, the best in Catholic talk radio. And the most popular show on that network is, of course, the Drew Mariani Show. A daily drive-time mix of news, views, and a whole lot more besides. Not least the Divine Mercy Chaplet, prayed each day at 3 p.m. Central. So what, I hear you ask, makes for a top radio show? Well, no point looking at me. However, my next guest should have some ideas, as she is Maggie Carusa, who just happens to be the producer of the Drew Mariani Show and much more besides. And she joins me down the line this morning. Maggie, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Kevin, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Maggie, what's it like to be successful in radio?
You should know.
As I said, there's no point in asking me. But seriously, how did you end up producing, for many people, the most successful Catholic talk radio show in the United States and possibly in the English-speaking world? How did you end up getting such a plum job?
Well, this is a classic example of God qualifying the called. By all means, I felt totally unworthy of that position when I found out that it was available. And Valerie, the gal that works in HR at Relevant, had encouraged me to apply for it. I was like, there's no way. I've never produced a live radio show before. There's no way that this is going to work out. You know, it's 3 hours in the afternoon. I was so nervous. I was like, that's a lot to be responsible for. But not only that, but the Divine Mercy Chaplet held such a treasured place in my heart that I was so nervous that I didn't want to do any disservice to it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
So I had been listening to the Drew Mariani Show for years, probably almost a decade. My mom, when I had fallen away from the church and the faith for probably about 5 years in my early 20s. And as I was coming back to the faith, my mom, as moms do, was kind of, you know, recommending things here and there. And she's like, gosh, you know, you should listen to this show. It's really good. And every afternoon at 3 p.m., they pray this prayer, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I knew that my grandmother, my mom's mom, had a deep devotion to St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. And so it kind of was a natural draw for me. So even though I was living in Tennessee at the time and my mom was in Wisconsin, we both had the app on our phones. And so we would both listen in at 3 o'clock almost every day. And we would text each other and say like, oh, did you hear Sweet Barbara? You know, we would always like chit chat about who we heard on the chaplet that day. And I distinctly remember, even I was working in the heart of Nashville, right next to the state capitol building in this big high rise. And, I would sneak off into an unused office room, an office suite that was empty. And I would go there at 3 o'clock if I didn't have anything on my calendar. And I would, for some reason, take my shoes off. I would sit on the floor and just like really listen in and really pray. And that was just like, that was just my afternoon release. So it's really crazy that about 7 years after that, all of a sudden I was offered this position to produce the Drew Mariani Show. And I had done work in film production for Dave mm-hmm. Ramsey,
yeah.
But I had never done live radio. And so, I was like, all right, well, I'll apply and I'll talk to you guys. But, you know, I was like, if you want to move forward with me, you're going to have to promise to really mentor me through this. And they did. They put a group of people around me, and I couldn't be learning from better pros. I mean, I don't know if you listen to the Patrick Madrid Show. Cyrus is the producer for that show.
Yeah, sure.
Cyrus has taken me under his wing. And he's just a joy to work with, and he's so patient. So, you know, I've really gotten this amazing opportunity to learn from the best, make tons of mistakes. You have to be okay with making mistakes. And then eventually, you know, now it's been about 2 years, and I go, okay, I got the hang of this. I think I got this.
Oh, I think you've got it in spades. I mean, I do remember, because we've talked about this off-air, Maggie and I, many times, but I too have been listening to the Drew Mariani Show for at least a decade, if not longer. And initially, I wasn't particularly attracted to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It was the interviews mm-hmm. and the fact of the sort of eclectic mix of guests, and it was like nothing mm-hmm. else I found on Catholic talk radio, so it immediately attracted my attention. And then gradually, I got drawn into the Divine Mercy, which is this like inner secret, you know, in the Drew Mariani Show, and then it becomes the be all and end all in a sense. But I remember your predecessor, the producer, who was, because luckily I had the privilege of appearing occasionally on Drew's show, and Jake or Patrick would call me up and get me on the mm-hmm. show. And then I remember the moment when I heard that Jake was leaving and there was a new producer, and that's always a moment of great tension in a radio show. Maybe people who don't realize is that the producer is the nuts and bolts, they're the people who keep the show on the road. And then I remember hearing your voice, and I was listening with my wife, and I remember we both turned to each other, and I said, she's got a radio voice, and my wife said, absolutely. So, and I remember that then you slowly became a part of the Drew Mariani Show in a way that your predecessor hadn't been, and you are today. I mean, people phone up and they talked for Maggie. You know, they want to speak to Maggie almost as much as Drew. So you have become very, very – so, I mean, I say that to just sort of reassure you that those of us in radio land sitting out listening, we haven't seen any of the joins, Maggie. Don't worry. We haven't seen any of the mistakes. We haven't heard anything. We just heard wonderful. But listen, I mean, all that being said, live radio is a different animal to anything
totally.
You've done before, anything I've ever done before. It's both the most attractive, most interesting, most exhilarating thing you can do, but it's also terrifying at times. Talk to me a little bit about those early days when you were just finding your feet. Were there moments when you would go to the bathroom, stare in the mirror and say, I don't know what I'm doing?
Oh, there were so many of those times. You know, I think... I erred on the side of trying to be too prepared, which in some ways, when it comes to radio, can seem a little stiff, you know? So, you know, I was pulling audio for the show. I was helping book guests with Tom Siskevich. And, you know, once Drew comes into the office, you know, everybody wants to talk with him. Oh, hey, I heard this segment yesterday. Or, hey, you know, you should check out this guy. So he's getting pulled in a million different directions. And so for me to learn how to assert myself, to snag a little bit of his time, but then also be the protector for him, the gatekeeper, so to speak, of, you know, people want to come and go and visit with him, but he also needs to prep for the show too, right? So it's really like this great dance of learning how to prepare, but also how to let enough space for the spirit to move and for spontaneity to happen. And having that structure in place that everyone kind of has their space for preparation. And then what we say, what we've been saying a lot lately is that we thank the executive producer of the show, the Holy Spirit, because there are so many times when a guest will fall through last minute and your immediate reaction is, oh no, you know, like, what do we do? How do we fill? Do we pull an old replay to you know, like smush in this segment, or do we talk to the audience, or do we call, you know, this person who's kind of always on standby? And in those moments before letting yourself fret, if you just take a breath, and I've learned to just say a little prayer then, usually to Our Lady, and then things just kind of fall into place. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, we've kind of like worried about a segment not coming through, but then something filling perfectly in that space. And maybe the new guest who ended up just kind of joining on last minute is like, I am so glad that you called me today because X, Y, and Z happened. And I was thinking about talking about it anyway. So you're like, oh, wow, that's crazy how that happens. So really there's no need to worry. I think I've learned worry does nothing.
No, I mean, it's amazing what you're saying in a sense, Maggie, because I'm sure I know exactly what you're saying. I'm sure everybody who's worked on this program knows exactly what you're saying, especially with live radio, because you can't control it ultimately. Things happen, things don't happen. You have technical hitches or human hitches along the way of whatever sort, and things just don't happen. But then, and I think there was a moment when I was doing this show that I realized it as well, just what you said, that actually he's in charge. If that guest didn't turn up, or we've had guests sometimes, I'm not going to name the name, but we had one guest on who the phone kept going in and out or broke down or whatever. But I was a little bit worried about the guest in terms of what they might be saying. So maybe the Holy Spirit sometimes steps in and says, no, not that way, guys, this way. So I agree with you. But in some ways, what you're talking about, Maggie, is the untold secret of all Catholic media, but Catholic radio, Catholic live radio in particular, which is that it is one great act of faith.
It is. And you know what? The thing that makes a radio program so different, especially Drew and I talk about this a lot, that, you know, there's plenty of apps or websites that you can go to listen to a prayer, you know, to listen to the rosary or the chaplet or whatever you'd like, you know, Hallow and all of these other apps. But what makes a live radio show so different is it's a two-way street. Those other things, you're just going and it's a one-way street. You're just receiving whatever has been pre-recorded. This two-way street is really important. It makes people feel so connected and heard. We have people that listen to us all over the country from every walk of life. And I say every day to Drew, we're amazed. We're like, we have the best listeners in the world because, you know, we'll bring up a hot topic and we'll get a farmer calling in, a doctor calling in, a stay-at-home mom calling in, a nurse calling in, you know, like just the whole gamut of people. And they get the chance to spout off or to question Drew. I really like when we get phone calls from people that they have a differing viewpoint. And a lot of times if they're a little bit feisty I always put on the call screen, I'm like spicy. I say that this is going to be a spicy call. And Drew has no problem taking them. And it's what's great about it is that when you give voice to someone that has the differing viewpoint, then the phone lines just stack up with people that want to like give their input. So it's like this great dialogue that ends up happening, and it's just great.
You know, I've heard those conversations. They are absolutely fascinating and real. I mean, there's nothing as dynamic as live radio with interaction with a real live audience. Okay, Maggie, listen, we're going to have to go for a break. You know how this works in radio land. I'm in conversation with Maggie Caruso, who is the producer for The Drew Mariani Show, but she also has another string to her bow, which we are going to explore when we come back. If you have any questions for Maggie, text me on 251-928-2111 or telephone this show on 888-928-0881. We'll be back straight after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency live on Archangel Radio. Back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I hope your Thursday morning is going well. Mine is going fantastically well because I am in conversation with Maggie Caruso, who is the producer of The Drew Mariani Show over on Relevant Radio. Many of you will have heard it. It is always a fascinating mix. But in the last few months, Maggie has developed another string to her bow. Take a listen to this.
One second, Kevin. Sorry about that. It's been giving me a hard time on the audio files today.
Maggie, meet our producer, Reed, and he has been fighting with our audio files all morning.
A great introduction for me.
The demon of audio interruption has been playing up all morning, especially in your honor, no doubt, Maggie.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Now, we're just going to play a little snippet of you live on air doing what you do.
Seven-year-old Kala is on the line from Oak River, Minnesota.
Kala, how are you?
I'm good, Father.
You sound good. Thank you for calling. What's your prayer intention?
Last year on January 6th, I was diagnosed with leukemia, and I had sepsis infections and lots of other infections.
Oh,
but on December 30th, I finally reached maintenance. So I would just like to thank you for all the prayers, because I know without the prayers, I would not be here with my family.
Thank you, Reed.
What a beautiful,
Maggie
beautiful.
Is the co-presenter of Family Rosary Across America. Maggie, you do the Drew Mariani Show, Divine Mercy Chaplet, in the afternoon, and then in the evening times, you're doing the Rosary Across America with children like little Kala coming on. Talk to me about what this has meant to you spiritually, being so overtly praying on a Catholic radio station.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, the first couple weeks of considering, you know, taking that position and then taking it, I spend a lot of time in prayer and feeling like I had to promise the Lord that I would promise him to still spend private time in prayer with him. I didn't want my existence to just be public praying, which is a gift. I understand that he's given me this opportunity. It's such a beautiful thing to help lead others in prayer. But I think there's a temptation that lies in there that's good enough, that like, if, you know, oh, I'll be praying the chaplet this afternoon. Oh, I'll be praying the rosary this evening. That's guaranteed, you know, like whatever. I don't really have to think about it. I don't want that kind of attitude to slip into my life. Mm. So I still have private time with the Lord every day. I go to Mass in the mornings. My husband and I try to go to adoration every now and then throughout the week or every couple weeks. So I think once again, it was another one of those like moments where I thought, oh my word, I've listened to this rosary so many times. I just don't want to do a disservice to it. I want to honor this time. I want others to be enriched by what we do. I also don't want it to be a distraction. You know, like I don't want to take anything away from what currently exists with the rosary. I just want to be a kind of a subtle addition. You know what I mean? So
I do. I mean, I wonder though as well, Maggie, if there's a kind of subtle temptation for anybody working in Catholic media, but I think in particular working on daily Catholic radio. And it's a subtle temptation that tells you, really, you're doing this?
Isn't there somebody better that could be doing this? Somebody much more suited,
not just to the task, but, you know, somebody who's more prayerful and holy than you. Do you know that little voice that has a tail that says, Maggie, this isn't for you?
Of course. Yeah. You know, that's the accuser's job, right? And sometimes I have to remind myself when those thoughts come in, I go, that's the accuser. That's not my Lord, because he would say, Margaret, look at where I brought you from. Look at from the depths of despair that you were in 10, 12 years ago. Look at how far we've come. Don't you want to do this to honor me? Look, I've given you this opportunity. Yeah, you're not perfect. You never will be, but keep going. Keep going and keep lifting your heart to me. Keep helping others lift their heart to me. You know, it was so interesting when I started with the family rosary. It was a couple weeks in, and it's funny how the Holy Spirit works. Simultaneously, one day I received my first piece of hate mail and my first piece of fan mail. So I had gotten the email first that was telling me that I was praying the prayers wrong. And this man was, you know, he laid out this whole argument about how, my pride is unchecked because I pray this one prayer and I don't say it exactly right. And how dare you, you're leading all these thousands of people and you should have more humility than that. And I stared at that email and I was like, whoa.
But Maggie, then you know you're over the target, right?
I guess.
You know you're over the target. But also, listen, you're getting mail, both positive and negative. I'm glad if I get any mail on this show. So, you know, count your blessings. Now, listen, Relevant Radio, just for anybody out there who doesn't know, Relevant Radio broadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's huge. It's absolutely huge. It has over 200 owned and operated affiliate stations in the United States with a potential audience. Get this. 250 million souls. Mm-hmm. Programming can be heard around the world through streaming and audio. And there's been downloads of the app in over a million downloads of the apps, every single state in the union and 192 countries worldwide. Maggie, when you switch on the mics, are you aware of the global audience that's listening to your every word?
Oof. You know, at first I wasn't, but I also, I run the show Twitter account, the social media accounts, and slowly after working those and being on the show for Drew Mariani and the Family Rosary, you know, we would get these messages. I get messages from people that are listening in South Africa. They're listening in Dublin. They're listening in Germany. They're listening in Honduras. It's the Philippines. Crazy. It's crazy. And I'm like, well, they must have the app. Who told them about the app? How did they find out about this? You know, it's just like my mind goes on this little like wild goose chase. How did they get to know Relevant Radio?
I actually, I actually think, Maggie, I mean, I've only experienced here in the UK generally, but relevant radio is much better known than you probably are aware. I know you think I'm your only listener in the UK. I can assure you I am not. There are a whole legion of people who are tuned in to relevant radio. But tell me this, Maggie, because you've referred to it earlier, and without going into any sort of details of any sort, but your reversion back to the faith in your 20s, was that in any way due to Catholic radio?
Not at the time. Not at the time. I was very far from the faith. I was very depressed. I was isolated. I was living with someone I probably shouldn't have been with. Learned a couple of really hard lessons that there's reasons why we put safeguards up in our lives, that we follow a certain order of life. I probably would have said that I was a feminist. You know, I had gone through a very liberal school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was really depressed. And kind of hit rock bottom. I was far from my family. I was far from my friends, and turned to alcohol and drugs. And then one night ended up in the ER. And to be very honest, I had a little mental breakdown. And what's so interesting is I hadn't prayed. I hadn't gone to church. I hadn't even thought of God in probably 5 years.
Right.
And then the nurses were saying that they were thinking that they were going to have to send me to an outpatient, mental ward. And the hearing that from the staff, I was like, how is this happening right now in my life? Like, how did I get here? And it was almost automatic. Like I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that I needed to do it. Sitting in the ER, I just put my hands together and I said very loudly to the staff, I was like, okay, now we're going to pray. And so I prayed the Hail Mary. I prayed one Hail Mary in that moment. And I swear to you that from that moment, everything started changing. The next time that the staff came in, they were like, oh, that place we were going to send you to, it's actually all full tonight. So we're just going to keep you here to observe you. We'll just monitor everything from here. Every time they came in, I was more coherent. Every time they came in, I was doing better. My parents were on their way down. Like all the things that I probably could have worried about just flew out the door. And it was like, I think our mother was like, she's mine.
Yeah.
Don't touch her. She's mine. And she's going to do great things for us someday. And so it's funny. I remember that moment praying that one Hail Mary. And sometimes I think about it while I'm praying the Family Rosary across America and how the power of just one Hail Mary can change everything for you.
That is incredible, Maggie. That is such a moving testimony. I just had a text from a listener saying she should have her own show! Exclamation mark. But listen, there's because we've only got a few moments left. There is a really happy little coda to this. Because one night on Drew Mariani, it's nighttime here when we listen to it in London, you shared your desire to want to be married, to want to have a family, but that you weren't having any success in the in the Catholic dating world or whatever. And I remember my wife and I looking at each other, feeling really kind of sorry for you and hoping that it would work out. And it really did work out, didn't it?
Oh, it did. It did. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, but the dating scene is wild these days.
No, I haven't been in it for at least 20 odd years, so I have no idea. Thankfully.
It's a wild world out there, and people have very strange expectations. And when you say, hey, I'm about this life and I need to stick to it, that is really odd for a lot of people. But it just, it, you know, it chases away the chaff, and eventually you're left with the wheat. So I don't know what came over me in the process of working with Drew, but he's very disarming. And so, you know, we would be staring across the glass at each other for the chaplet. And sometimes he'd be like, Megs, do you want to lift something up today? And sometimes I would just be like, you know what? Just be honest, be vulnerable. I'm struggling with this. I, you know, was seeing somebody, now I'm not, because he's not, you know, living up to his Catholic faith. And everyone started praying for me. You know, it's the cutest thing, because these listeners that I talk about, these like greatest listeners in the world.
That's right.
They send these messages on Twitter and on the YouTube stream for the rosary. And some of my colleagues even would take screenshots of people's comments in the chats on the live stream for the rosary. And they would say, so Maggie will find her husband. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's so precious. And so all those prayers paid off.
Now, Maggie, you know that we're up against the clock, so I'd love to tell the full story. And in fact, I have told it on air. I hope you don't mind. It was on the Relevant Radio website, so I told people a little bit about how you found your husband. But you were happily married just this year, right?
Yep, in May.
In May. Beautiful. So God really, really does keep his promises.
He does. And he wants the best for you.
He certainly does for you, Maggie. That is true. He really does. And we have had the best from you in the last 40 minutes. It's been such a pleasure to hear from the other side of Maggie, from behind the mic. And who is that person behind the mic? Maggie, I can't thank you enough on behalf of all our listeners and everybody who does listen to Relevant Radio for all you do and all you keep doing. You make it seem so effortless and so easy. Believe you me, I know it's not. And you do a wonderful, wonderful job. We're just about to pray our own Divine Mercy Chaplet. We do it here on the show in the next segment. Maggie, is there anybody or anything you would like us to pray for? We'll be praying for you and your intentions anyway, so you're covered, but is there anybody else you'd like us to pray for?
I would love to lift up anyone that's working outside today in the U.S. It's so hot. Any garbage men or construction workers or, roofers, anyone that's outside in this heat.
That's a beautiful intention. Maggie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us today here on Archangel Radio.
My pleasure, Kevin. God bless.
Thank you very much. Maggie Carusa, you can catch her on the Drew Mariani Show each day at 2 p.m. Central. Okay, when we come back, we'll be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stay tuned to the Charlie Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.